New heart, new spirit. Your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary, connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary in southeastern Wisconsin. Here's your host, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying. I'm the rector of the seminary and host of this program, where we share with you stories of the people and events taking place at our seminary, St. Francis de Sales. Thank you for tuning into our program this morning. This half-hour show airs the first Saturday of every month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. And we appreciate your support, and we appreciate you listening to us. It's the end of the school year for us at the seminary, which means, as you know, we have just ordained a new class of priests for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Just this past May 15th, Archbishop Listecki ordained his first priests as the Archbishop of Milwaukee for us. So Father Anthony Thomas, Father Eric Weiss, Father Matthew Witter, and Father Chuck Robel began their adventure of priesthood. It was a wonderful day. The cathedral was packed. Choir was amazing, as always. Archbishop's homily was right on cue. He talked much about the challenge of the priesthood, the transformation that takes place in a priest as he is ordained to serve in the person of Christ, you know, to allow Christ to use him as his instrument, to preach God's word, to celebrate the sacraments, and to shepherd God's people. Favorite part of ordination mass for me always is the prostration. There comes that very moving moment when the candidates for ordination completely lay down in front of the altar, prostrate themselves, and as the choir chants the Litany of Saints and the people respond, they completely lay themselves down for Christ and the church. Interestingly enough, the only other liturgical prostration occurs on Good Friday. At the beginning of the Good Friday service, the priest and the liturgical ministers enter into the sanctuary and in profound silence completely prostrate themselves in imitation of Jesus, who, of course, lays himself down body, soul, mind, and heart on the cross for us. It's very moving for me as the rector. At each ordination, I'm required in the liturgy to stand up to formally request ordination for the candidates and to give assurance to the archbishop and to the entire church that these candidates are well prepared and worthy of ordination. I feel intensely the challenge of that commitment, to be that voice saying, yes, these men are prepared, these men are ready. I find myself taking that responsibility very seriously, because once a man is ordained, obviously he is a priest for life, and we want him to be the priest that God dreams him to be. So it's just a wonderful, moving ordination. We just completed all of the first masses as well, and the new priests received their assignments. So Father Anthony Thomas is going to St. Patrick's and Crystal Ray in Racine. He's a member of the community of St. Paul and will serve in that parish, as do other members of his community. Father Eric Weiss will be the associate pastor at St. Jerome's in Oconomowoc. Father Matthew Witter will be the associate pastor at St. Mary's in Hales Corners, and Father Chuck Robel will be associate pastor at Holy Apostles, New Berlin. All of those are big parishes, so we're putting them right to work, and obviously there's tremendous challenges and blessings awaiting them. We also await the ordination of Johnny Burns in July. Because of the schedule at the North American College, he does not complete his academic year until the end of June. So he'll be coming home in July to be ordained on July 17th, and then he'll return for a final year of study before receiving his licentiate in moral theology. So please pray for him as he moves ever closer to ordination. So we'll have five new priests this year. Last year, six. Next year, five more. And as you can see, and as we continue to say, St. Francis de Sales Seminary continues to be on a beautiful roll. My dream would be that someday soon we'll be ordaining 10 priests a year, 10 priests to send out to the diocese to be that new life within the priesthood, to bring people to Christ through their ministry to the hearts, minds, and souls of our people, to infuse the archdiocese with the, 100 new priests in a decade. Would that not be amazing? That's within our grasp if each one of us takes that sense of vocation seriously, to befriend and to speak to the young people in our lives, to not be afraid to challenge them, to call out their gifts, to ask them if they've ever considered giving themselves to the church in some particular way. I think so often we think that vocation just means priesthood or religious life or perhaps even marriage, and yet we know that every single one of us, simply by the virtue of being baptized, has a vocation, that God has a plan for our life. It's not so much what we want to do with it, it's what Jesus wants to do with our life. And like the priest at the moment of ordination laying down before the altar, we lay our lives down for him, knowing that he'll whisper in our ear and tell us what it is that he wants to do if we're faithful. If you've listened to previous programs, you know that we've had a wide variety of guests and topics, everything from parents of a seminarian to a liturgical minister from one of our larger parishes, Lumen Christi, from what a typical seminarian's day is like to priests that have been a year out from the seminary. We brought them back just to see how they were doing 6 months into their priesthood in the first year. Today we have a very special guest on our show who has a unique vocational calling and a tremendous story of inspiration to share with us. Her main means of evangelization is through her music, some of which she will share with us today. She is an author, a wife, and a mother to four children. I'm happy to have Erin Berghaus with me today. Welcome, Erin. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Father.
We've known each other quite a while, and I've always, even before we knew each other, admired you, watched you from a distance. And once we met, I just knew I was meeting someone extraordinary, because your faith, your talent, your ability to love people, to be transparent in your own spirituality really speaks to us. And so just in terms of your background, if for the benefit of our listeners, just a little bit of your life story. I know you're a convert to Catholicism. I'm sure people would be interested by that narrative. Anything you want to say just in terms of introduction to us?
Well, thank you. That was really nice. But I think I'm more ordinary, and anything that you do like that comes from my heart all comes from God. Anything that's not good, I'll take care of. That would be from me. But thank you for that nice introduction. And yes, I am a bit of a convert. And God is very creative. Without going into hours of detail, I was raised without my mother. So it was my father that raised me. And it wasn't until just a little over a decade ago that I came to know that I had been baptized Catholic by my birth mother, who was Catholic herself. And as we moved to Wisconsin and we decided to have our children attend Catholic schools, it was then that one of my aunts told me I was baptized Catholic. And so then a lot of pieces of the puzzle really fell into place. And I remember very vividly entering the church in Heartland, Wisconsin, St. Charles, and feeling this immense sense of peace and beauty that I had no idea why it was so different from the churches that I had attended that were beautiful to me my entire life. But there was something different about the church in Heartland.
So coming to the Catholic Church was almost like coming home.
It is.
Coming back to where you had started, even though you didn't
even
know
though I didn't
that's
know.
Where you started.
Right.
That's remarkable. What was it about the Catholic Church, do you think, that gave you that sense of peace or that quality of difference that you were talking about?
I really believe that it's because the core of our faith is the Eucharist. And so when I walked into the church, it wasn't just an empty building, but it's a building that just surrounded the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And so how could I not feel such peace in the presence?
There's that tremendous sense of presence, I think, every time you walk into a Catholic church, just knowing that the sacramental presence of Jesus is there, and it draws us like a magnet. Now, you've been a musician all of your life, some of your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I love music. I'm not really a very good musician. My dad gave me a guitar in high school, And right away, I started to write some songs, but when I played them for my friends, they started to cry, and I felt very uncomfortable, and so I put the guitar away. And then it wasn't until years later that I had a dear friend who was going through a terrible time, and at 1 a.m. in the morning when I was cleaning the house, I decided I'd write her a song because I had no way to convey the emotions that I felt for her, except for I felt that I could do it in a song. And it was a pretty awful song, but it was my heart really set to melody, and that was the beginning. And that would have been 18 years ago.
And since then, you've recorded many CDs, many individual songs. You've sung at World Youth Day in Toronto. What are some special moments or particular songs that really stand out for you as pivotal?
Well, you know, as an artist, I think you try to really, you look really deep at everything, every moment, every song. And as I analyze the music, it's difficult to hear what it sounds like. Is it good? Is it bad? All I know is that it is. It's a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. It's either you're going through something or someone that you love is going through something, and so it causes an artist to reflect it in the words. World Youth Day definitely was huge. To be able to be at a place where there were people, the youth from all over the world, to share the joy of the church with the Holy Father, that was amazing. In addition, there was with the Toronto Symphony, there was a productions for the legacy of John Paul II. And that was amazing. But I must say that every moment, even the moments outside of the church that helped to make me who I am, I guess, is a blessing from God. And so every song has a piece, every person plays a part, and I'm thankful for all that God's given me.
Every authentic work of art really manifests God to us, and John Paul talked about that in his letter to artists for the year 2000. We're going to be taking a short break. You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. We're blessed to have Aaron Berghaus on this morning with us. I'm Father Don Hying. We'll be right back.
The 8th Annual Catholic Charities Golf Classic and Dinner Auction comes to Ozaukee Country Club in Mequon on June 21st. Hit the links at noon with a shotgun start and then enjoy a relaxing reception and dinner followed by the auction. Funds raised from this event go directly to Catholic Charities Ministries, programs, and services. Spend Monday the 21st at beautiful Ozaukee Country Club in Mequon. More information at relevantradiomilwaukee.com, keyword Golf Classic.
Connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hying.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, the rector of the seminary and the host of this show. Today we have Aaron Berghaus with us. She's been speaking with us about her vocation as an artist, as a songwriter, as a musician, as one who uses music to reach people's hearts and to touch their spirit with a sense of God's love for them and the challenge of living the gospel today. So welcome back, Aaron. We're blessed to have you with us. Thank you. We've been speaking about some special moments in Aaron's life as a musician, singing at World Youth Day, working with the Toronto Symphony as a tribute to Pope John Paul II. I know, Aaron, you wrote a beautiful song as a tribute to our late Holy Father. I know here in the Archdiocese, you're often tapped for special events to add your music as an artistic, qualitative addition to many formation events. I'm thinking of maybe the Women of Christ Conference, celebrations for different groups of people within the diocese, formation events. You recently wrote a special song for the Year of the Priest. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? What inspired it, What is it from the song that really speaks to you?
Well, when the Holy Father declared the year for the priest, I remember just thinking that, that I was sorry that I didn't take as much time as I should to say thank you for all that you do for us, and that this year would be just really a beginning, that I would focus to spend more time creating art that would reflect the beauty of the priests. We are so grateful for all that you do for us. We couldn't have the church without you. And so came the song, The Priest. And I pray that it reflects really the beauty of the priest and our prayer for you as the laity, that that God blesses you as you bless us.
We're going to listen to it. I know, Aaron, that it's written from your heart. And so we listen to it from that perspective of the heart, knowing that God uses you to speak to us through your music. So please join me in listening to Aaron Berghaus's brand new song entitled The Priest, written for the year of the priest.
In this year I'm gonna find a way to make more time to give a little praise, be more grateful in my ways to the men near and far on the front lines of the war, giving days and nights, fighting the eternal fight. God bless the priest who gives his life to save you and me. God bless the priest who guides us to eternal peace. God bless the priest. God bless the priest. God bless the priest. He welcomed me on my first breath. I pray he'll be there at my death. All the sacraments he brings, so that Jesus lives in me. He prepares me for the day where I pray I'll see the gates, where Almighty God will stand and Blessed Mary takes your hand. God bless the priest who gives his life to save you and me. God bless the priest who guides us to eternal peace. God bless the priest. God bless the priest. God bless the priest. Only he opens the door to the passion of our Lord, redemption living on this earth. This is the heart of our church, for it's he who holds the key to the Lord's love and mercy. He restores my soul with peace. He's my holy, holy priest. God bless the priest who gives his life to save you and me. God bless the God bless the priest. God bless the priest. God bless the priest who gives his life to save you and me. Oh, God bless the priest who guides us to eternal peace. God bless the priest. God bless the priest. God bless the priest.
Thank you for sharing that song with us, Aaron. Anytime I listen to your music, I'm always touched and amazed by your fusion of beauty and truth. because your songs are beautiful, but they speak to us about the truth of God. And this song captures the truth of the priesthood. If you'd like to download this song, listen to it again, share it with family and friends, go to the website, thepriestsong.com, and you're right there. You can listen to it again. And we'd simply ask that as you listen to it, to pray for your priests and your seminarians, especially in this year dedicated to them, to pray in thanksgiving to God for them in your life, and also to ask God to raise up many more workers in the church to bring in that harvest of goodness and of salvation that God wants for all of us. We're very close to the closing of the year of the priest. On the Feast of the Sacred Heart, Pope Benedict will bring this special year to a close with special ceremonies and a mass in Rome. And as we come to the end of this year, we simply, again, lift up all priests throughout the world and ask God to bless them, especially priests that perhaps are hurting or alone or confused or struggling with their vocation. I can certainly verify from my own experience that it's the laity of the church that pull the priesthood out of us, that teach us what it means to be a priest, that ask things of us. And it's in those asks, it's in those requests that we come to learn what it means to be a priest, a true servant of God's people. I know, Aaron, you have a strong devotion to our Blessed Mother. And how has that worked its way into your ministry and into your music?
I do. I love Blessed Mary. Way back when I used to have a company called Heartland Publishing, and then after I read that beautiful letter from John Paul II, the letter to artists, it made me realize the responsibility that I had as an artist, the responsibility that I have to be so careful, I think, with the art that's created. So we changed it all up and made Lily Productions, and Lily was the name, a symbol name, in a very old prayer book for Blessed Mary. And I like to have all these reminders because life is crazy, and I become very, discomboveled and pulled in many different directions, and so I need every reminder of my purpose and my focus. I think that every day I can only pray to be the tiniest reflection of Blessed Mary, and I somewhat in the depths of my heart think that if I could do anything for a priest, that Blessed Mary is the mother of the priest, and so even if at the end of the day it's that I prayed for a priest, then, well, I feel I've been just a tiny bit like her. And so, but I do have an immense love for her. And I look back at my life in the void of having an earthly mother. There's no doubt in my mind that I have always been watched over, not only by my wonderful father, who played both roles, I call him on Mother's Day, but also by Blessed Mary and Jesus. And so, she's a big part of my life.
One of my favorite songs that you've written and composed is Beautiful Mary. And
thanks,
it,
Father.
It speaks to everything you just said. Other question I have is there a strong community of Catholic songwriters? Is that something that's on the rise? Have you made connections with folks like yourself who are out there writing songs with a spiritual theme, specifically a Catholic spiritual theme?
Well, it's interesting because, yes, I have met some. I wouldn't say there's an abundance. There are Catholic singers. There aren't a lot of Catholic singer-songwriters. There are some, though, across the world, and I have been, blessed to meet a few. I think on a broader scale, I've been blessed in the world of media productions. I've been very blessed to meet people, whether they're in radio production, television production, print, word communication. Very blessed to meet people whose hearts have also been called to reflect the beauty of the Catholic Church in media productions. But I love to meet anyone who shares that call because you know. Mm-hmm. You know that maybe that was a calling meant for you.
You recognize that in each other.
Yes,
I'm sure,
yes.
You talk about your projects. Speaking of projects, what are you currently working on? What's captured your heart, your imagination? What are you pouring your energies into?
Well, thanks for asking. There is a production that I started a year ago, February, that's just being formed now as a nonprofit, Ahava Productions. And it is a television DVD series that will spotlight priests and in a very sort of modern communication style. It's not really like a music video, and yet it has the look of a music video. So it speaks to the culture and the language that the culture hears. And so I'm really excited about that and the people that God has sent into my life that to make that all, that dream a reality. And thanks for asking.
So the hope is to capture young people in a way that, that speaks to them, you know, through music and images and text that really leads them to the faith in a way that's attractive, beautiful, joyous.
Yes, and the language that they're used to, and so a fabulous production, but from the heart and from the mouth of the priest. I think that we need to be very proactive and focusing on creating positive productions that reflect the beauty of the priest. And so this is what I'm committed to.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much, Aaron, for being here today. And please know of our prayers as you continue your important ministry. I think it is through music that God moves our hearts and leads us to do great things and to love Him and each other in Jesus Christ. As we come to the end of the show, I just thank all of you for your prayerful support of our seminarians, the four that were just recently ordained, the others that are in formation for ordination, God willing, in the years to come. Especially we lift up Johnny Burns as he comes to the moment of his ordination in July. Please pray for him. And please tune in next month as once again we come to you with updates, news, and stories of interest about life right here at our local seminary, St. Francis de Sales. God bless you and thank you for listening.
To contact Father Hying, send an email, newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu, or call 414-747-6400. And be sure to join us next time on New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio, connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary in southeastern Wisconsin.